Good to see each of you out tonight. And if you take your Bible and be turning to the Colossian letter in the third chapter, that's where we'll begin our study in just a moment, Colossians chapter 3. If you're visiting with us and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we're delighted to have you in our study. I encourage you to get your Bible and study with us. If you find I've taught something wrong, I stand to be corrected. If you'll show me my error, I'll make the proper correction. In a few moments, we'll stand and sing the song that Brother Chris has suggested. If you've not put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready. There's clothing here, the baptistry's filled. And upon your confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you can be immersed into Christ for the remission of sins. I look out and see so many visiting with me that I love and near and dear to me. Some from East Cheatham and some from Orlando. A couple ladies that I think were talking out back, but sure appreciate them. So good to see Brother Billy Aiken and Sister Shirley. They mean a lot to us. They send my son Sam a lot of cards with a picture, and every time he gets a card, he keeps their picture of the flower. They're so dear to our family. And good to have the Reddicks and others visiting with us. In your Bible, in the Colossian letter, in the third chapter, if you will, begin reading with me at verse 6. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all this: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, nor free, but Christ is all and in all. The Apostle Paul, when writing to the church at Colossae, had stated in chapter 2 and verse 11 and 12 about one becoming a child of God. And he talked about the circumcision made without hands. Then in your Bible, in verse 12, if you note, he talks about one being buried with Christ in baptism. And he is talking about one being immersed into Christ for the remission of sins and being raised to walk in newness of life. Then when you come to the third chapter, he's talking about the new man. This individual that is walking in newness of life is no longer living by his own will, but now is following the will of Christ. Now that he is in Christ, in Colossians 2 and verse 11, we see Christ is in him, and that we live by faith in Christ. And then in your Bible, in Colossians 2, chapter 11, notice that Paul makes a strong statement about the importance of Jesus. Look, if you will, in verse 11, where he talks about, there is neither Greek nor Jew. Underscore Greek and underscore Jew. And notice at this time that Jesus is talking about racial differences. He said it doesn't matter if someone is a Greek. In that day and time, if someone was a Greek, they had a high standing amongst society. They would be of the educated group. And many times the group Greeks were looked upon as educated people, being in the upper division of people. And the Jew often was looked down upon. And yet Paul said it doesn't matter about the Greek or the Jew. Then he talks about the circumcised nor uncircumcised. And that is talking about religious differences. Whether one being of a Gentile descendant or one being a Jew, he said in Christ it doesn't matter what your religious background is. That all is changed when you're in Christ. Then notice he talked about the barbarian or the Scythian. The barbarian was one who did not speak the Greek language. And the Scythian was one that was identified as a little better than a savage. So he said it didn't matter if that's what you were. That doesn't matter if that's what you came from. In Christ, that changes. Then notice in your Bible, he makes mention of something else. He talks about the slave or the free man. He said it doesn't matter whether you're the slave or the master. He says in Christ, you are all. I want you to think about that statement. That he talks about that in Christ, your background doesn't matter. Then he makes the most powerful statement. But Christ is all and in all. You know what he's saying in Colossians 3:11? He's saying Christ is everything. And I would tonight that we, for just a few moments of our time, look at Christ and notice that Christ is all that matters. To all the saints, regardless of where they find themselves, their loyalty to Christ should be above all ties and all bonds. He does not just say that Christ is good. He doesn't just say Christ is kind or compassionate. He says Christ is all and in all. Christ is everything. And you know that's exactly right. When you go back and you think about the Bible, do you recognize that Christ is everything in the Bible? I call to your attention that He is everything in the divine revelation of God. If you take your Bible and turn back to the book of Genesis and the third chapter, you'll remember right after Adam and Eve sinned that there was a separation from God. And yet God, in the very beginning after their sin, is already starting a way for man to be reconciled to Him. And notice in your Bible in Genesis 3:15, He said, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Notice He is making a prophecy of Christ. And look at that word, seed. Then take your Bible and turn to the New Testament, to the Galatian letter. And when you come to the Galatian letter and the third chapter, notice that when Paul is writing to the churches throughout the area of Galatia, then he brings to their mind that it's through one seed redemption comes. In Galatians chapter 3, notice that he says in verse 16, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. Have you ever thought from Genesis to Revelation, the Bible points us to Jesus? That the Bible is telling us that Christ is everything. The Old Testament gives us examples and patterns and pictures and shadows pointing to Christ. And then the New Testament reveals who Christ is and what Christ has done for us. In your Bible, in the book of Exodus in the 12th chapter, you remember that God had instituted the Passover feast. And He said that you're to take a lamb and you're to sacrifice that lamb. And it's to be a lamb without blemish. Then in your New Testament, in the book of John, in the first chapter, in verse 29, what was it that John said when he looked upon Jesus? He said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin. Have you ever thought that it's through the Lamb of God sin can be pardoned and justified? Sin, it can only be dealt with through the blood of Christ, through our Lamb. Oh, I would tonight that when we look at the Bible, we saw Jesus as we should, and that we saw that Jesus is everything. That the Bible says to us, He's the Lamb, He's the seed. But I'll tell you what else He is. If you take your Bible in the book of Exodus in the 16th chapter, you remember as they were wandering through the wilderness that God had rained down manna from them. God had sent them bread to live by. But then when you come to the book of John in the 6th chapter in verse 35, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. We have the shadow in the Old Testament. We have the image in the New Testament. The prophets all point to Christ. And I'll tell you what, my friend, Christ is everything. From the book of Genesis to the Revelation letter, Christ is revealed. Jesus, the Son of God. But I'll tell you a second thing. A lot of people fail to see that. And I'll tell you why a lot of people fail to see that. It's because when they open their Bible, they don't look for the Son of God. Some want to read the Bible as a historian. And all they want to do is try to read it for some history's sake. Some people want to read the Bible for as a skeptic. They don't believe the Word of God. They just want to look for contradictions. And some people read the Bible as a controversialist. All they want to do is find something to argue about. I've met some people that when they come up, they're like the people in Matthew 19 when they came to Jesus. They didn't come with a sincere question. The Bible said they came testing Him. And some people, they just want a controversy. But I'll tell you, when you open the Bible with an open mind, you'll see that Christ is everything. Now tonight, when you go home and before you pillow your head, I hope that you just take your Bible and just read a few verses and just think about the fact that Christ is all. He is everything. But then I'll tell you a second thing. Not only is He everything in the Bible, He's everything in the plan of redemption. When you think about redemption and you think about the fact that Jesus came, that He came for the purpose of salvation. And when it comes to the salvation of a soul, you'll see Christ is everything. Open your Bible, if you will, to the Roman letter and the 5th chapter. When you come to the Roman letter and the 5th chapter, notice that when Paul is writing to the church at Rome, that Paul wants to put into their heart what Christ has done. Anytime I read Romans 5, beginning at verse 6, it just touches my heart. When I think about, for when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Underscore ungodly. Then notice he says, scarcely a righteous man will one die, perhaps a good man, someone would even dare die. But God demonstrates. That's God shows. God didn't just say I loved you. God showed he loved you. Well, God, how are you going to show me you love me? God demonstrates his own love toward us. And while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Underscore sinners. Notice, Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for sinners. Then look again at what he says in verse 9. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Look at reconciliation. And look at verse 10. We were enemies. We were separated from God. The only reason we can come back to God is because of the sacrifice of Jesus. Do you recognize tonight, had Jesus not came and died on the cross, every one of us would be destined to an eternal hell. And I don't care how good a person you may be, there's not enough good works that you could do or I could do to earn our salvation. If it wasn't for the death of Christ, we would be condemned. And so Jesus is everything in redemption. We are justified, we are reconciled, we are redeemed through the blood of Christ. Oh, I would that I could get that into my heart. I would that I could see that he is everything. Open your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 1, and you'll remember when Peter was writing at this particular time that Peter is telling the people what they're redeemed by. And Peter wants them to understand they're not redeemed by corruptible things like silver or gold. And he says in verse 19, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Oh, I would that I could understand that redemption, Christ, is everything. Now, I recognize we must do good. And I recognize I must follow the will of my Father. And I recognize I do good works to the glory of God. But I must never, ever forget, had he not died on the cross, I'd be lost tonight. He is everything in the plan of redemption. He's everything in God's plan to reconcile us and redeem us, to purchase us back, and bring us into fellowship with him. But I'll tell you a third thing. He's everything to the church. Sometimes we preach about the church, and yet I wonder if we appreciate the church as much as we should. But as important as the church is, we must remember that the church belongs to Christ. Open your Bible to the book of Acts in the 20th chapter. And when you come to the book of Acts in the 20th chapter, you'll remember in about verse 28 that when Paul is talking to the Ephesian elders on the island of Miletus, he tells them to take heed to yourselves and to the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. What is the church? It's people that have been blood-bought. It's not the institution. It's not the building. What it is blood-bought people. And so tonight, Jesus has purchased you and me by his blood. If we've been immersed into Christ, we've been immersed into his death, we've been immersed into his blood, we've been raised to walk in newness of life. But I'll tell you what else we are. If we are in Christ, we're a part of the body. Open your Bible to the Ephesian letter and the first chapter. And when you come to the Ephesian letter and the first chapter, when Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, he talks about in verse 22, he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. Watch it. Which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Look at that. Again, that statement of him who fills all in all. What is he? Christ is everything. He's the head of the church. We talked about that Sunday morning, and I'm not ashamed to talk about it again tonight. The body does what the head tells it to do. If you take your Bible in the Ephesian letter in the 5th chapter, you remember that when Paul was writing to the church at Ephesus, what did he tell the people in Ephesians chapter 5 in verse 23? The husband is the head of the wife as Christ is what? The head of the church. He is the head. Colossians 1:18. Christ is over the body. But then notice what else in Ephesians 5:23. Not only is he the head, he's the savior of the body. You know what the church is? People who've been redeemed and saved by the blood of Christ. We're not better than anybody else. What we've done is obeyed the gospel of Christ, and thus we've been redeemed. But that's an invitation to all. Isn't that beautiful? That tonight you and I, if we are in Christ, if we've been baptized into Him, that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Christ is everything. But I'll tell you another time you'll see Christ as everything. It's when trouble comes. Oh, I think about trouble coming to the early Christians in a very powerful force, and they were being persecuted for the faith. I think about in Revelation 24 those who've been beheaded for the cause of Christ. And you know what those individuals saw? Christ is everything. They were willing to lay down their life on this earth because they recognized there's life beyond the grave. They not only were willing to die for Christ, they were willing to live for Him while they were here because they wanted to live with Him beyond the grave. And I'll tell you that when trouble comes, Christ is everything. You ever thought that you couldn't go any further? Perhaps you've gone through some things that no one else understands. Maybe you've had to bury a loved one, a spouse, maybe a child, maybe someone that's near and dear to you, and others don't understand what you're going through, and you feel alone. I'll tell you, that's when you understand that Christ is everything. When you cast your cares on Him, as Peter said in 1 Peter 5, in verse 7, cast your cares on the Lord. I think of Peter the fisherman. He was used to casting a net out into the water to catch fish. Now he says, I'll tell you what you do. You cast those burdens like that up to God. Why would I do that, Peter? He said, because He cares for you. Christ is everything. I want to take that. I want to make three or four points to the lesson's yours. I think about in our day, Christ needs to be everything. He needs to be everything in our preaching. All preaching should be Christ-centered. I'll tell you tonight that you can go to Nashville and many other places and they'll tell you about finances, they'll tell you about leadership, they'll tell you about teamwork. All those things are secular, they're fine to know, but I'll tell you what needs to be preached in pulpits across Nashville is the gospel of Jesus Christ. We wonder why people are going into immorality and why people are abandoning the faith. I'll tell you why. Christ isn't anything to them. And He won't take just partial obedience. He won't take partial submission. He says, either I'm everything or I'm nothing to you. Christ should be everything in our preaching. And I'll tell you something. A preacher that doesn't preach Christ isn't much worth his salary, much worth his salt. Christ is everything. But I'll tell you secondly, He needs to be everything in our worship. When we come together and we glorify God, every act of worship should be Christ-centered. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, that should be Christ-centered, our mind on the cross. When we give, who are we giving to? We're giving back to God. That's an act of worship. That should be Christ-centered. Sometimes I'm fearful we put giving as miscellaneous. Oh no, my friend, that is Christ-centered. When we sing, it's Christ-centered. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, it's Christ-centered. All worship should be centered around Christ. He is my everything. But I want to ask you a question. Is He everything in your life? Just how often do you pray? Just how often do we study His Word? Just how often do we take time to think about what God has done for us? Is He everything in our home? Is He everything as we talk with our children? Is He everything in our place of work? I'll tell you something. When we neglect someone and we snub someone and we act like we're better than someone, I'll tell you what we've done. We've basically ignored Christ. When you ignore one, you ignore Him. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 25:41. And when trouble comes, is He everything to you? If you don't go to Him, where will you go? And I'm going to tell you why some fail to see Christ. Look back in Colossians chapter 2, and we'll close. When you come to Colossians chapter 2, look at verse 4. Paul said, "Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words." A lot of people have been deceived. And you know why they've been deceived? Because they're not studying for themselves. One thing I've been impressed tonight as I've looked out, as I've been preaching, you've taken your Bible, you followed along, you checked what I said. That's good. Don't let any man deceive you. Don't let me deceive you. Don't let Chris deceive you. Don't let anyone deceive you. They might accidentally do it. You take your Bible and you put your finger on the passage and you say, "This is what God has said." And you put Christ first. Because I'll tell you something. When it comes to die, the question is He your everything? Paul said, "For me to live is Christ. To die is gain." There's no other word that will fit there except Christ. For me to live is recreation, to die is loss. For me to live is my family, to die is loss. For me to live is my wealth, to die is loss. The only thing that is gain is if for me to live is Christ. In other words, Christ is everything. Is He everything to you? If you're not, you can be obedient to Him tonight and put Him first and live for Him so one day we can live with Him. If you need to obey the gospel, we pray you come.